Jonah chapter 1 tonight, Jonah chapter 1. Go to the Old Testament. You go back to Amos, Obadiah, and you get to the little book called Jonah. Most of us are very familiar with it. I'll not tell you anything new, but hopefully just be a reminder. Pastor's letting me do a series, and so we'll do it on Jonah and kind of look at the life of Jonah and see how we can glean some things from him. I've had voice problems all day. I taught 2.5 hours today, and I lost about 30 minutes of class time due to voice. So I'm going to preach until my voice is done. And when I'm done, Pastor knows to come up and just pray or whatever y'all want to do. So I apologize. He has Larry. I have Harry. So I don't know if you can OD on Hall's cough drops, but if you can, today was the day. I've had about 20, but we're going to keep it under wraps. Hopefully, Lord, let me preach. I would literally have to be almost a leg amputated before I would not want to preach. My wife knows that. I wouldn't come to the pulpit if I had something that you could catch, I don't think. But I love to preach, and I love the opportunity. I'm appreciative of a church and a pastor that lets me do that, and because the Lord has called me to preach, and so I appreciate the opportunity to do that. We're going to look at the first three verses, and tonight I want to preach on this subject. A bad game of hide-and-seek. Have you ever played a bad game of hide-and-seek with your kids? I love when kids are small. I've enjoyed spending time this past week in Mexico with the James's kids, Eddie. I don't know why. I was fixing to call him Phil. But Eddie and Abby, I mean, I enjoy those kids. And Abby's still at the age where you can trick them a little bit, you know, but especially Eddie. You know, a game of hide-and-seek is, where's Mike-Mike? They all call me Mike-Mike, right? Where's Eddie? And he's like, I'm right here. Well, I didn't see you there, I tell you. You know, have you ever played that game with your kids before? You know, I love it when my kids are small, you know. And nowadays, my kids don't want to play hide and seek. I don't know why. I try to get them to go outside and close the door, lock it, and say, I'll come find you next year. They don't want to play no more. But, you know, when your kids are small, you're like, all right, count to 10. You count to 10. You hear them behind you, getting behind the curtain, or you hear them getting underneath the table, and you open your eyes, and obviously they're right underneath the table, and you go, where are you, right? So when we read this story, I want you to have this in mind, that Jonah was being a kid of thinking that he could play hide-and-seek from the Lord. But can I remind you, we can never play hide-and-seek from the Lord, that he knows exactly where we are. Notice verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. When he found a ship going to Tarsus, he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'll speak of why he went to Tarsus here in a little bit, but I want us to look at just a bad game of hide and seek that Jonah wanted to play. And guess what? God always knows right where you're at. And so we'll look at that tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you again for the night. And Lord, I certainly am not worthy without your son, Jesus Christ, to stand and open your word. But Lord, thank you for your son. He's quickened me. He's made me alive. And given me a new life. And Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit be the preacher and the teacher of our hearts. Pray that you speak to us through this little book, God, through a great example of a man, God, who tried to run from you and to hide from you. And Lord, all the things that you brought in his life to bring him back to where he needed to be. Lord, help us tonight to be those who are not playing hide and seek with you, but God, that we're just willing servants. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So what about Tarsus? What about Nineveh? What is Nineveh? Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians in this time. During this time, of course, Nineveh was built, if you remember, a guy by the name of Nimrod. Nimrod was the great-grandson of Noah, yes. And so as you look down, you see Noah's sons had Cush, and Cush had Nimrod. If you remember also, Nimrod was part of the ones helping build Babel. And so here he is. He built this city. This become a very mecca city. It has port sides in its coast there, and it's in the area of Mesopotamia. If you look it up on a map, it's a very populous place. It's a very prosperous place. And so this was the Mecca of the Assyrian army. They were getting their supplies. They were able to go out in their ships. Matter of fact, they have found many artifacts about the Assyrians and the boats that they would use. There was clay models of their boats that they would use and all the armor and things that they would have. They were very rich in this time. But I want you to remember this about the Assyrians. The Assyrians hated Israel. They were against Israel. We know God was going to use the Assyrians to come and attack God's people and all this. They were holding them captive and all these things. And so when God comes to Jonah, a Jew, and says, I want you to go to the enemy. I want you to go to them and cry against them. By the way, he said, cry against them. This should have been in Jonah's, right, in his wheelhouse of going. But Jonah wanted to flee from the Lord. Why? Because he didn't want to go to the city. This city was very wicked. Matter of fact, hold your finger in Jonah. Turn over a couple books to Nahum. The book of Nahum is just a couple books over. You got Micah, then Nahum. Nahum is the second book in the Bible that deals with Nineveh. And of course, God's still giving them warning. He gave them a little space of grace, but eventually they were destroyed. Later on, the Assyrians were. But in the book of Nahum, we get a little more information about this city of Nineveh. If you look at chapter 3, we'll just go to chapter 3, and look at verses 1 through 3. He describes the city of Nineveh. He says, woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery, and prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling of the wheels and the prancing horses, jumping chariots. The horseman lieth up, both the brine and sword of the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, a great number of carcasses, and there is none end to their corpse. They stumble upon their corpse. And so if you could imagine this great city, they were bringing people in and killing them by the groves. This was a very wicked city. And so when God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Guess what? He was asking him to go to a horrible place. It'd be like God calling us to wherever. I'm not going to say anywhere because God would call me there. Right? So you don't say anything, right? Lord, don't call me to Hawaii. I don't want to go. But he knows our heart, right? But say God called you into an inner city ministry, right? It would be, you know, in a city that's the murder capital of the world, wherever it may be, and that's where God's calling you. But not only that, there's the people there hate you. They hate your guts. They hate because you're a Jew. They hate because you're whatever. And that was what God was telling Jonah to do. A lot of us can say, well, he should have just went and did what God said. But can I say he had a moment of hesitation, but then he makes a lot of bad choices. And we're going to look at that. Number one, I want you to notice something. His focus. Jonah's focus wasn't on others. Jonah's focus was on him. God was asking him to do something that was contrary to what he wanted to do. You know what's wrong with the world today? It's not the lack of God calling. It's a lack of God people answering. I believe God's still calling just as many men and women today as he ever has. But I believe that the problem is we're so focused on self and on what I got and what I... You know, I had a preacher one time. My wife can tell you this. I won't use names. So we were at a church, and I was trying to help this church find a pastor, and we started bringing guys in. We brought in a guy, and one of the first things he said, I just want to be up front with you. He says, unless it's $50,000 or more, I can't do this. So you know what I did? I said, well, you just don't need this. Right? I mean, if you're in it for the money, then you're in trouble, number one, because that's not God called. God will supply your needs. He always has. But it's amazing how he was so selfishly looking at what he needed instead of just saying, you know what, God's going to take care of me. That God's called me to this place and God will take care of me. And God was calling Jonah. He didn't give him an option. He said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. He said, I want you to go to that city. And Jonah's his focus that he had was not on what the... By the way, something I thought about today that was just amazing. Number one, God spoke to Jonah. That's just amazing in itself that God would speak to Jonah. Listen, if God spoke to me in the Old Testament like he did with them, I'd say, Lord, what thou have me to do? But when your focus is wrong, your focus messes everything up in your life. Jonah was focused on the hatred of the Assyrians. He was focused on the killing of the people that came into the Assyrian kingdom there. He was focused on what he could get out of this. But can I remind you that our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He wants for our life. Number two, I want you to notice His foolishness. His foolishness. Foolishness is when you play a game of hide and seek with somebody who can see through everything. Right? You know, I heard an illustration one time, trying to hide from God is like trying to hide from air. You know, oh, I hate this air. Yeah. It's still there, right? I can't run too much. But, you know, but it's like, I'm going to get away from this air. You can't get away from it. Why? Because He's God. You can hide behind a vault. You can get in an armored truck, and guess who can still see you? God is there. Matter of fact, if you can write this down, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 13, David's talking about, Lord, I go here, I go there, and You are there. I can ascend to hell, and You're there. He says, you're everywhere I go. The Bible says He's not far from any one of us. Why? Because it's foolish thinking to think that you can get away from God. Why would it ever have entered into Jonah's noggin that I'm going to go away from the presence of God? But second of all, why in the world would you want to go away from the presence of God? Why would you ever want to walk away from the greatest presence that's in your life and the greatest force that's in your life and you want to walk away from it? Listen, that takes a lot of foolish thinking. But can I remind us, we've all tried it before. If I don't go to church, God will quit speaking to me and bothering me. If I just quit reading my Bible, God will leave me alone. Listen, I know preachers that have been called down through time to go places, and we used to have one in our church, and he'd give the illustration God kept just taking things away from him to get his attention and get his attention, and finally ended up taking his life, you know, because, and this is, he was in his late 60s, 70s, but he always would give the testimony. He knew God was calling him, knew God was calling him, knew God was calling him. He just kept running away from God. And listen, God's always faster, right? It's like the moment you say, your mom says, get inside, I'm going to give you a spanking. You try to outrun her. I don't know what it is. It's almost like, not that I ever watch horror movies, but the bad guy always catches up with you no matter how fast you're running, right? Y'all don't watch them either, but I'm just saying, if you were us to watch one, that it always seems like the people trip, but He's already there. That's the Lord works that way. He's already there. You can't outrun God. You can't out-hide God. You can't hide behind a tree, right? Hiding from God is like me trying to hide behind this microphone. It ain't going to work. It's foolish thinking. That Jonah had foolish thinking. I looked up some mileage not too long ago. Joppa to Nineveh was 600 miles away. That's a pretty good hike. But Tarsus, if you look it up, it says this about Tarsus. Tarsus in this day was called the end of the world. It was as far west as you could go at that time. It was 2,500 miles from where Jonah was standing when he said he wanted to go down to Tarsus. You know what Jonah was saying? I want to go as far away from God as I can. But can I tell you, to go far away from God takes a long time. There's a process, especially when you're on a ship in this day, right? It wasn't like they just hooked the motor up and let's go. I mean, it was sail or paddle or whatever. You had to trust the winds to drive you. And it was a long process. You had a lot of time to think. Listen, your life, you don't walk away from God. You don't get away from God like you think you are. By the way, we say get away from God, but you're not really away from God. You're away from where He wants you to be. Just like the children of Israel, God wanted them to be in the promised land. But just because they were in the wilderness, away from the promise of God that He had for them, He was still with them. But He did things to them to get their attention, to put them where they should be. God's never going to let you be happy outside of His will. The devil tried to make you happy. I see this every year out at the seminary. I know Isaac, the other guys probably see it too. We have guys come in, and boy, they're on fire for the Lord first year. And the second year, they're offered better jobs or something. You've seen it, Brother John. You know, these guys, oh, you know what, I'll give you a better job. Boy, you don't see them no more. Why? Because they try to get away from what God's calling them to do and what God's wanting them to do. But can I remind you, it's foolish thinking to think that you can walk away from God. He wanted to get as far away from God as he could. Notice in verse 3 it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Notice this statement. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare. By the way, going away from God's always going to cost you something. But notice what he did when he got in the ship, he went down into it. He went down to Joppa, he paid a fare, and he went down into the ship. That's the way it is away from God. You don't better your life by walking away from God. It's never a step up to say, you know what, I'm going to walk away from God and you're going to take a step up in your life. No, it's always a step down. When you step away from God, it's always a step down. It's always a step in the wrong direction. It's always the step of foolishness. And Jonah was that. But can I say three, and I've already got on this, but I want to park here just for a minute, but it's faltering. His faltering. Can I say, when you begin to step down from God, it begins a spiral in your life. You know, I wish I could stand here and tell you tonight that everybody that's in church tonight will be here next year, or at least in a church somewhere. But unfortunately, statistics tell us that that's not true. You know why? Because people take one step away from God. One step away from God. One step away from God, and before long, you're way away. You're headed to Tarsus. You're headed to the other side of where God wants you to be. You're faltering in your life and faltering in your life. By the way, it's not nice when you're walking upstairs and you trip. I'm not going to say any names of somebody that did that this week. But I'm not going to say that I haven't tripped in the very same steps. It hurts, right? What is the first thing we do when we trip? Whew. The great thing is we have video now. You may not can see it, but you can hear it. But you know what? We're always conscious of how we step in life. We watch where we go. We walk circumspectly, as the Bible tells us to do. We watch where we walk. And sometimes we just trip no matter how we pay attention to where we're going, right? But there are people in this life who are purposely faltering in their life, trying to get away from God. And what begins to happen is that they just begin to go down, down, and down and down. Be careful with walking away from God, because you know what? One day, God just might just let you keep going. But I'm glad that in our faltering, our Father is there with the goad and with the crook of His staff. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does that mean? It means he takes that staff and when we falter in life, he goads us, he prods us to go the right direction. If you've ever seen horse training or you're trying to train some animal, you tap them on the side to get them to go this way. You tap them on this side. If you're holding reins, you want to go left, you pull left, right? You're pulling those reins, and God's trying to do that. When we falter, God's trying to goad us. He's trying to help us. And when we do falter, when we do stumble, he takes that crook and he picks us up and he carries us and he doctors us up and he helps us along the way. And I love the story of Jonah because of this. In all of Jonah's faltering, God still loved him. And God still cared for him. And can I remind us tonight, though we may falter, though we may start a spiral in our life to get away from God, though we may not be where we once were, we have a God in heaven who cares for us enough to say, come back. Listen, as a parent, I don't like to see my kids mess up. Right? None of us enjoy that when our kids mess up in their life, whether they're small or whether they're big or whether they're grown or whatever it may be. We want the best for our children. We want our children to follow the Lord. We want them to be a Christian and that exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. But our kids falter, and sometimes as parents, we falter in our life. But what do we do as parents when we see our kids getting outside of those bounds? We nurture them and we correct them in the admonition of the Lord. We get them back on the track and we try to help them out. Why? Because we love them. Because they're our children. But can you imagine how much God loves us? He loves us more than I can ever love my children. He loves me more than I could ever love him. And though I falter in my life, and Jonah faltered in his life, God sent some things in his life. And not next week, but the week after, we're going to talk about what God tries, how God deals with people who try to go out against him. God still keeps working in their life. He said that, and here he says, he paid the fare thereof. I don't know how much Jonah had to pay physically, but spiritually he had to pay a lot. I don't know about you, but in my life, a lot of times I always think, you know what? If I just kind of just step over here a little bit, maybe I can just take it easy a little while. For long, I've taken a few steps over here, and I begin faltering in my life and in my walk with the Lord. Is anybody else? I know you're not like this, but I've done this in my life before. All of y'all are perfect. You keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and for long, you're like, wow. Wow, I used to be way over there. I used to be right there, and how did I get this far, and what has happened to my life, right? So many people wreck their lives and ruin their lives by just a faltering, by trying to get away from God. And so many times in our life, we want to get as far away from God as we can. Why? Because we're not willing to let go of self. You know, the greatest thing today at seminary, we were studying the life of Paul. I guess if you had to put one word on the life of Paul, it would be the life of selflessness. In everything that Paul did, he said, I count it all but dung for Christ. Paul said, though I've been beat, I've been stoned, I've been put in prison, everything that I've had done in my life, hallelujah. Why? Because that I may win him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul always had a selfish motive in his life. Everything that he did was not for self, but it was for Jesus Christ and for his glory. And in Jonah's life, it was for foolish reasons that he went away from the Lord. He faltered from the Lord. I was thinking today of illustration there, going back to the kids. You know, when kids hide. I just love the age when kids, when you can teach them bad things too, right? You know, like, where's Grandpa? When Eddie comes to me, he says, hammer, hammer. That means he's fixing to punch you. I always tell Eddie, Grandpa wants you to go hammer him. And he'd go around the table, go run over to Grandpa, and Grandpa would look at me and go, thank you. Right? It was great game. I love that age. You could tell him to do anything. Isn't it wonderful? Like, Eddie, there's a giraffe outside. He's going to look. Right? But when you play the game of hide and seek when kids are small, it's fun because, right, they feel like just because they're behind a chair, or just because they're behind a curtain, or just because they're in the corner hiding their face, that nobody can see them. And I love playing, all right, where are you? You know, and you're looking straight at them, and they're like, and then in a minute, what happens? I'm over here, right? Like, I got you, right? But in their mind, they're thinking, that dummy can't see me. So I need to tell him where I'm at. Brother Wiggins, I'm over here. And then sometimes you still go, I cannot hear. And they're like poking you like, I'm right here. But in our lives, so many times, we play the same game with God. We play the game as if, I'm not going to church today, so God, you can't see me. God, I'm not going to open my Bible today, so you can't see me. And all the time, God sees through everything, and he looks straight at our hearts. I'm going to end with this because I think this hits all of us. You can sit in the pew and not be here and be trying to play hide and seek with God. You can be going through the motions of church and Christianity and all those things, and you think, boy, if I'm in church, maybe God will leave me alone. But he's a great God, isn't he? I'm so glad that God will not let us falter without him constantly reminding us of his love, reminding us of his grace, reminding us of his care for us, just like we're going to see here in a couple weeks to Jonah. Even though Jonah thought, got away, all of a sudden Jonah hears, oh, I don't know what a whale sounds like. That's all I got. I'm liable to lose my voice trying to sound like a whale, right? I look like one, but I can't sound like one. Yeah. Jonah's on the front of that ship going, I got away. Where's God at now? And God says, oh, but I prepared some things for you, Jonah. God loved Jonah so much that he caused his creation to do something against nature to get his man back to where he should be. Ain't that amazing? God's a great God. Listen, we all falter from time to time. You know what we have to do? Just repent and come back to Him. Turn from that and get back to Him. And get back in our Word of God. And He's a great God. And He'll love in you just like a father. I've told you all this story 100 times, but I'll tell you again. I thought it was a good idea one time. My mom was strict growing up. She made me go to church and go to church and go to church. So I got tired of mama telling me what to do. So I joined the army. No, I didn't. I said, I'm going to go live with my dad. My dad said, you come live with me. You can do whatever you want to. That's what I want. I'm a teenager. I'm a man. I wasn't a man. I lived with my dad 2 weeks. Called my mama. I'm sorry. It was, no. Mama, can I come home? She said, I knew you'd be back. I went back to the house, kind of like the prodigal, humbly. Mom, I'm sorry. You know what my mom did? Come here. Gave me that old hug. Man, I'm telling you, that felt so good. And you know what? I appreciated when mama said, get dressed, we're going to church. Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? I appreciated that from my mom because I know my mom didn't want me to falter. My mom loved me enough to care for me. I'm not saying my dad didn't love me. I'm just saying my mom loved me enough to say, Michael, where are you going to be? What you going to be doing? Because she loved me. And she didn't want me out there doing foolishness. I appreciated mama. But I'm telling you what, if my mom loved me that much, how much more does the Father love us and want us to come home? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your grace to us. And Lord, as we stop and we pause to thank you for the times when we do falter, that God, you just gather us together. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for the life of Jonah. I pray that you help us to learn from him. Lord, and I pray that you bless this invitation. Now, as we all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed real quick, I just want to say, if you're here tonight and you're faltering, just use this altar. It's here for you. Ask God to help you. Maybe you got some kids or neighbors and some family members. You can come pray for them tonight. We're going to sing Where He Leads.